Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
That's right, that's right. You came to that website, the one you're on right now, to listen to a podcast because you said, hey, I need to hear what's going on this topic today. You have come to that location where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. We have thumbs up from my co-host. Somebody was messing with the dials down here and I'm over here trying to do that. I'm not a multitasker. I say that I am, but who can really multitask?
I am completely incapable of multitasking.
So it is very challenging sometimes. I'm sitting here and I'm going, okay, now I don't hear him very well. But
just a description of what was happening in the studio here. I had no sound in my headphones, and Raul was trying to do the intro and turn the dials to my headphone volume at the same time, and he completely failed. So he's going to start the intro all over again.
That is a negative. Dun, 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 dun. All right, yes. Hey, we are not professionals. We are not paid to do this. Our treasures are in heaven.
We'd be quickly fired.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's a good thing we don't have a general manager because, well, we do. And he says, carry on, carry on, carry on. So we're here to just bring hope and light and into areas of challenges and darkness in men's lives because not that we're out of it completely, because we can definitely dip into that darkness at times. You know, there's temptation all the time. There's diversion. There are lures. There's all sorts of things to take place. And that's what we talk about here. As a matter of fact, today's topic, believe it or not, is on frustrations in the workplace, you know, and how we deal with that sort of thing as a follower of Jesus Christ. Not just a pronounced, I'm a Christian, but as a follower of Jesus Christ.
Right.
What is it that we need to be doing, and what does it look like? You know, we've all had our challenges, so we're going to talk about that. I'm not going to throw any more out about that sort of thing, but we always like to kind of start things off with some encouragement for those of you who are joining us and listening in, wanting to hear a little bit of something that says, "Hey, man, come on, give me some encouragement, Eric."
Eric.
Well, do you have anything? If you don't, I always have something.
I was actually thinking about this, and I decided how I want to die.
Decide how you want to die.
Yeah.
I'm glad that, okay.
Okay. Well, I've decided that I want to die peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather and not screaming in terror like his passengers.
His passengers?
Yeah.
He was a bus driver?
It was a car, bus, whatever. Oh, okay. You see, it was a joke. I want to die peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather, not screaming in terror like his passengers. Okay, everybody else was laughing except for Raul.
Okay, I'm just going to step back and just, I'll be here just in case you need me. You just go right ahead. That was good, though. I like that.
Well, the point of the joke is that we don't get to choose how we die, and we don't get to choose when. You know, that's up to the sovereign hand of God. Amen. And so in the meantime, what we have the opportunity to do is to seek to be at peace with everybody. So, you know, there are people in our lives, because we all have this image of, you know, men, we have this image of the deathbed where everybody comes to gather around us. The Father has the opportunity to lay his hand on the head and bless everybody and to reconcile any wrongs that have been committed. And so, you know, I'm just going to wait until I'm on my deathbed to take care of all this thing. They're all going to come to me, and everything's going to be great. And but the thing is we don't get to choose that. We have no guarantee of that. In fact, that's probably the exception to the rule.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we have today is what we have. Yeah. You know, and not we don't even know how much of today we have.
Yep.
But we are living in this moment right now. And in this moment, we're told that insofar as it depends on you, be at peace with one another. Mm. And also to not let the sun go down on our anger. Yes. We have the opportunity and the responsibility to reconcile with one another. Mm. So, I mean, as I'm saying this, you have a name or a face popping up in your head, mm-hmm. that's the Holy Spirit talking to you, saying that you need to get something right mm-hmm. with somebody. Mm-hmm. So my encouragement to the guys out there today is to do that.
Yes.
Now, don't wait until tomorrow.
Right.
God has given you everything that you need to do it today. Right. He's not going to give you more faith and more strength tomorrow than he gave
mm-hmm.
you today.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if you're waiting for to be given more, brother, he's given you everything that you need today. So go and be reconciled. Yep. Take care of that before it's too late.
Yes. And acknowledge a simple fact. So often we go to God and pray and ask for certain things, courage and strength and the right words and all of these things. He already gives those to you. Just say thank you for them. Acknowledge that. And then go with what and trust in him that he has given you those things, the right things to say, and more importantly, on his right timing. Here's the thing that I think is so important is that we need to remember that procrastination is not our friend. It's not.
Yep.
We sit there and say, oh, that's really cool, encouragement, and Eric, and so on and so forth. But you know what? I haven't seen those relatives and in months, and I know they only live a mile away, but I'm not going to, you know, when we bump into each other, I'll take care of it. That's when God wants me to do it. Brother, that's not it. That's you. That's you desiring to have a little more freedom and not think about what it is that you need to do. Because most of the time when we go and reconcile, it means that we're asking for forgiveness is usually what it means. Mm-hmm. Okay? And we don't want to do that. The last thing we want to do is to humble ourselves, to die to self, and to let someone else know that I was wrong, okay? So those are tough things, but that's what we're called to do. Being a mighty man of God does not mean that you walk around with a big old sword and guns.
And smite thy foes.
That's it. You know, I'm sitting there saying, hey, here I am, and I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
No, that's not it, you know. We need to be willing to humble ourselves and
Yeah, just as Christ did.
That's it.
I mean, here's the guy who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, and he humbles himself by coming down to the earth in the form of a man and being found in the form of man. Even then, he humbles himself further by allowing sinful men to nail him up to a cross.
Yes.
For our sins.
Yes.
I mean, is there anything more humbling than that?
Yeah.
Than the humility that Jesus took upon himself. And if he is our example in all things, as Scripture says, then let's do that. Let's look to him as an example of humility.
Right, right. Well, that's what you guys get as a follower of Jesus Christ. You get some iron that's sharpening other iron, okay? And we share with you things that we have done through our own experiences and things that have gone on. Not because we believe this is a good idea for you to do, you know. It's because we've learned these things by actually doing them, okay? So, anyway, so there's your encouragement today, you know. I thought it was pretty good. I got to still get this bus thing again.
Yeah.
The grandfather.
Well, I had more of a sedan in my head, but it doesn't really matter. You can go with the bus. More people die in a bus, and so then the story's more funny, right?
You know, it's fun. Here's what's funny. I had... I've been in situations where I've been involved with hospice, some experiences with that, and a lot of cases. And there was one hospice nurse that told me, and this is when my mother was in hospice at the time. She said, here's the deal. Your mother is waiting for you and your brother to go about your business so that she can pass. And I said, serious? She doesn't want us right here, you think? Because, you know, she was in that coma state, in a sense. And the nurse says, I've been doing this for 20-some, 30 years. I was a long time, right? Doing that, the same thing, dealing with people and watching what takes place. She says, mothers wait for the family to go home to take care of their families and do the business that they need to take care of. Fathers, on the other hand, wait for as many people to be there as possible. And it's, you know, and I just went, whoa. She says it's something, but men have a tendency of wanting everyone to be there to when they pass.
Yeah, the women, the mothers, that's what are just I got going on in my head.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's what I thought of when you mentioned that. So,
wow.
Brother, what we're gonna have some little cutout cardboard figurines that look like your buddies and your friends and everything around you. When they're reaching the deathbed, you're put this around there. Everybody go back and play golf and start doing everything else.
I'll just be so old, my eyesight will be so bad that I won't even be able to tell the difference. I'll reach out and I'll feel a fuzzy arm and I'll say, Raul, is that you?
Yeah. Yes, it is, as a matter of fact. I'll get the nurse to be able to sound like me. Yeah, anyway. All right. Brother, I think it's going to be the other way around, the way things work out. I'd have to be 120 by the time that happens. So anyway. Okay. let's segue right into what it is that we're talking about today. And that has to do with frustration, which I think every guy that's listening and every stealthy woman that's listening understands frustration, right? It's that place of going, you don't know what decision to make. You don't know what to do because if I do this, what's the repercussion? What's the consequence? It's et cetera, et cetera. And some of the frustration that's very, I don't want to say meaningful, but is impactful, is where we spend most of our time. Sure, we have frustration at home, but we're not talking about that. But we're talking about the place where we earn money for our families to take responsibility in paying the debt that we need to be able to survive in this world.
Yeah.
Money is not a bad thing. Money is not evil. It's no. The love of money
is the root of all sorts of evil.
That's it. So it's the love.
Hollywood gets that wrong a lot. Yes. So.
So really, oh yeah, no kidding. So what it comes down to is that at work, no matter what type of work that you do, there are frustrations.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I'm kind of passing the torch on to you because you're going to work right after this. So I'm sure you're already frustrated.
Well, there are because, one of the things that brings on frustration is the fact that when things are out of our direct control, you know, we want to have control over every aspect of our lives because that's the nature of men. We want to be in control.
Mm.
For some of us, you know, when we go to work, we work under somebody else,
yes,
and we're directed to do what they say we need to do, and we're directed to do it as they say it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
While I may have a completely different idea of what it is that needs to be accomplished and how it needs to be accomplished.
Right. Right.
So, you know, at that point, you know, I get frustrated because this person is just seeing things so unclearly, right? You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but then there's the person, flip the coin over. There's the person in authority who is dealing with a belligerent employee. And there's a frustration there.
Yes.
So we have a frustrated employee. We have a frustrated boss. And it just keeps on cycling. Frustration grows upon frustration, resentment. And what we wind up having is, you know, some really strained relationships because, you know, we go to work, we're dealing with people in almost all circumstances. You know, some of us have jobs where we sit down and we work from home on a computer or something like that. We don't have very much contact with people. But, you know, for the most part, we're dealing with other people in the workplace.
Yes.
And as people, we are relational. And as people, you know, we're sinful in all aspects and yes, in our relations to each other.
Yes.
So, you know, these things can, you know, just compound and we get frustrated. And so, you know, the question then is, you know, how do we tackle the frustrations? How do we handle the frustrations? What does Scripture say about any of these sort of things, you know, the workplace? Because Scripture does talk about work, you know, so we'll probably get to some of those verses here at some point on the show. But, you know, I just really have to go to the relational aspect of it.
Yes.
Because I'm having trouble putting this into words. Just as Christ himself, he died on the cross, and he did that in order to reconcile people to himself.
Mm-hmm.
So reconciliation and being in right relationship is of the utmost importance to God.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way, us in the workplace, we need to be of the same mindset. If we are disciples of Christ, if we are Christians, then we need to be of the same mindset and to be concerned with reconciliation and right relationship insofar as it depends on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of that, it has to do with, you know, what we talked about in the encouragement,
mm-hmm.
dying
mm-hmm.
to self,
mm-hmm.
you said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's difficult. That can be it can be painful, well, and it needs a whole lot of intentionality.
Well, if you're a guy that, let's just say you're a framer, right, and you're out there building that building or a house or whatever, and you're with other guys who aren't necessarily followers of Jesus Christ. They may say, oh, I go to church, I'm a Christian, or I believe in God, or whatever. But their actions and their voice don't match with what they say. There's foul language and coarse jokes and that sort of thing. And even when
never come
somebody,
across that.
Yeah, never. But you sit there and you just go, oh my goodness, you know, why am I in the midst of this? Here it goes again. You know, that becomes a frustration for us. And we end up at times not sure exactly how we're supposed to handle that sort of thing. Now, I don't want to just narrow it down just to coarse jokes and foul language and even lust of the eyes of the flesh to those who walk by, right? Especially if the weather is in summer and you happen to be in an area where there are women who are dressed scantily in a sense, okay? There can be all sorts of lures and things to take you off focus, right? And to have guys who are you're working with that are doing this sort of thing, where you're sitting there saying, "Come on, man, we need to be working here instead of doing that sort of." All these things become frustration. Sometimes it's not so much that we want control; it's just that, hey, I want to be able to get a job done, and I can't finish my job unless your job's done.
Yeah, that's
you know
that's certainly a factor.
And until you get that done, but what do you want me to do? You want me to slow down? I can't slow down because I've got somebody behind me who's waiting for me to get something done. You know, but I'm waiting for you. So come on, can we, you know, how can we, you know, so what's the best way of communicating this in a sense? Really, it's what it comes down to. Is it a matter of just letting go and just saying, hey, you know, when the guy behind me says, hey, come on, man, I need you to finish this so I can get done. And I'm really waiting for you to get done. But I said, you know what, he's almost finished here. As soon as he's done, then I'll, you know, I try to do the thing. It becomes frustration, right? So what really needs to take place is clear communication of some sort, right?
Well, yeah, clear communication, and not only clear, but spirit-led communication. So that's where, as Christians, Scripture says to pray at all times.
Right.
Now, that's a lot of times we get the idea of being on our knees before the throne of God when it says to pray at all times. But it's really about a lifestyle of being in communion with God throughout the day.
Right.
That all of our actions would glorify Him. All of our thoughts would bring glory to Him. All of the works of our hands would glorify Him. And when we are in that communion with Him, so you know these frustrations come up. You know, like we have this communication gap.
Right.
Well, as a Christian man in communion with God, you know, we got the Holy Spirit in us, and we can, you know, we are tapped in, and so our conversations need to be glorifying to Him, you know, instead of coming off necessarily as accusatory,
right,
or anything along those matters. You know, all of our conversations need to be seasoned with grace. And this is actually, you know, an opportunity where you might be able to encourage somebody,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
instead of, you know, to tear down the work that's being done. Hey, come on, you if you don't pick it up, you know, I can't get my work done.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you have the opportunity at this point to say, the work that you're doing is fantastic, but I'll bet that you could do it just a little bit faster.
And I totally hear what you're saying, but I'm going to say, I'm not going there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're going to take a break. I'll come back and I'll let you know why.
Okay.
You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
Football season. It's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double smoked sausages. Yum! Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's Meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hempler's.com.
I have decided, to follow Jesus.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and you guys are all sitting there going, oh, I can't believe that Raul said that to Eric like that, and he's going to just slam him and everything.
Well, I am always right, so how dare you?
Yes, I know. How dare I? I know. But here's where I was going with what I was thinking, because I was using that same analogy that I'd used earlier that, you know, my work I can't go any further with what I do unless you finish your thing. And the guys behind me are saying, hey, come on, Raul, can you hurry up and get yours done? And they don't know that I'm waiting on you. Now, and where I was, the reason I went, like that is because I just wanted to get everyone's attention that, in the sense of, hey, what's he mean by that? I want you guys to keep listening. The fact is that I believe that sometimes, well, first and foremost, does prayer work? Yes. Does being able to tell somebody else you understand and you're doing great work and encouragement, I understand all of that stuff. But sometimes the proper time, the right time, is not at that time to do that. That might be a time at the break or at the lunch, you know, when I get a chance to talk to you and say, hey, man, you do great work, et cetera, et cetera. But at that time, when time is of the essence, in a sense, I need to get something done. I believe if I were to just come to you and say, hey, Eric, I see you have a few challenges here. I'm finished with my part. These guys are waiting for us to get done. Can I help you out? What can I do to help make this go a little smoother for you? I know that you're not usually like this, but I can. What can I do? And so that we, you know, we can get this thing taken care of. Now, I'm just asking if I can help is all. And in a sense, I think it would be received sometimes, depending on the situation, might be received a little bit differently than me trying to say, hey, man, you do great work. Just this is not the time it looks very great. Well,
no, you make a good point.
Okay.
And one of the things that that stands out in my mind about this is the helping. And if we go to the scripture, we can see that being a helper is actually listed as a spiritual gift.
Yes.
So when we are helping somebody,
yes,
and we are in the Spirit, we are actually helping somebody in the Spirit of God through the gift that He has given us.
Right. Well, let's think about some of the things in the Bible, some of the stories that we've read and we're familiar with, where the workplace can be a very challenging place. Well, we'll stay with construction since we're talking about construction. How about when Moses was there when he was seeing the Israelites, who were the slaves, doing all the work, the grunt work, and not getting fed very much, but this is their life, right? This is what's going on. There was probably abuse there. There were whips that were being used, and I'm sure their language was not very, you know, encouraging. It was more the other way, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, Moses took a step further, right? And he actually took the life of one of those foremen.
He killed an Egyptian foreman who was abusing an Israelite. Yeah.
Exactly. And sometimes that's where we sit there and go, man, I want to be like Moses, you know, situation. Well, you know, you've got to look at what actually has took place as a result of that. You know, it wasn't like his life became better. He actually fled for years.
He had to flee into the desert.
You know, that's it.
And
so there's a lot, and you would have to flee also if you did something like that at work, but for a lot longer than just a few years anyway.
But I'll tell you, I think a lot of us have had those sort of thoughts go through our
heads. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But the fact is that what ends up taking place is that ultimately is that in certain cases is that I think if I lower my expectations on people, okay, has a tendency of giving me a little bit more peace of mind in a sense. Not that I need to just say, okay, you just do it on your terms and your time. If I'm a manager, the last thing I need to be doing is telling you, hey, whenever you get done is fine. You know? No. You know? That's like me.
You're not going to get your money's worth in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what really needs to take place is that, again, is that if I still lower my expectations of being able to communicate that, you know, how can I best assist you to make your job go a little smoother so that you can get done the job that I'm asking you to do today, you know? And sometimes, again, it's back to communication, right?
Yeah.
Is that biblical?
It is. Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah. So the employer is in a situation where the employee hasn't accomplished everything that that he had set out to do, right?
Right.
So, you know, as an employer, then in this point, we have a couple options. We can go to them and we can point a finger and say, you're not meeting expectations. Your work is terrible, blah, 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 blah. Or we can go to them and say, can you help me to understand why it is that we're this far behind?
Right.
Can you help me to understand what it is that I might be able to do to help you to reach your goal?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. So when we have those two options, you know, which one do we think is going to bring the greater response? You know, of course, the one where we communicate and we ask, say, you know, what can I do to help you to reach your goal?
Right, right.
As opposed to the one where we just instantly tear somebody down, and we think that by tearing somebody down that they're going to be inspired to perform better in the workplace. Right. I mean, sometimes threatening somebody's job does get a little bit of effort.
It gets
some attention, but that doesn't always need to be the first place that we go.
You know, there's a guy that both of us know. He works in a meat factory, and he is in a position where he does a lot of physical lifting and there's a procedure of certain things that need to get done. He's been doing it for so long, and he's a pretty well-built man. But what ends up taking place is that he tries to help everybody in that department be better at what they do. And he encourages them not only most importantly, by the way that he works. He works hard. He works smart. He's been doing it for a while. He stays focused. And then when he's able, he actually assists others in encouraging them, you know, and gets them to laugh at times. And even he sings that on occasion. He gets them to enjoy that surrounding area.
Mm.
It doesn't always work, but that's sort of how people, they say, hey, man, I like working with him. You know, because he's kind of, you know, uplifting and stuff. Doesn't mean he's always on, But he's human. But the fact is that he's an encourager, okay? Believe it or not, we're all called to be encouragers. The Bible says that we are to come together and to sing psalms, to pray for each other, to sing songs and psalms and, what's the rest of the verse? I just went blank.
Psalms and songs and spiritual songs.
Yes, whatever. But anyway, and what it is that we're called to do that sort of thing. Now, he works with people who are not believers, okay? Oh, they might be of a different, they might be believers in God, might be a different religion, okay? But he doesn't necessarily come out and slam dunks anybody, but they, man, what do you do? Where do you church? Or what do you, and he gets opportunity to be able to talk with them. Mm-hmm. And he enjoys that sort of thing because he's actually, believe it or not, I believe God is using him to be able to reach someone else, okay? Now, that's something that when I hear that story, when I think about him or I think about situations that I'm in, you ever think about it? I wonder how he would handle this. You know that whole thing, I said, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Sometimes I need to use a human being, someone that I respect and someone that I believe does something better than I do in a sense. What would he do in this? You know, sometimes I have to kind of go there and think about that, you know?
There are a couple different types of people in this world. There are people who are thermostats and people who are thermometers.
Ooh.
And the people who are thermostats set the temperature in the room. Yes. And the people who are thermometers just acclimate to whatever the thermostat set.
I like that.
So that's what I had pictured in my head when you were talking about this guy that we both know.
Yeah.
And as Christians, mm-hmm. as followers of Jesus Christ, we are not called to be thermometers where we just acclimate to the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to be the thermostats where we set the temperature.
Yes, yes.
And in the workplace, we have the opportunity to do that,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To work heartily as unto the Lord.
Yes.
Now, that joy that we have as Christians, that's contagious.
Mm-hmm.
What you were talking about was that mm-hmm. contagion, you know? What is it that this guy has got that I don't have? Why
why
is he, hauling around bags of meat and so happy about it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because here I am, I'm hauling around bags of meat, and I'm miserable.
Yes, yes.
Whatever,
I can hardly wait for this shift to end.
Whatever he's got, I want that.
Yes, yes.
So we have an opportunity to display Christ in the workplace. And, to do that, we have to be mindful of the fact that people are watching.
Yep.
People are watching us. They want to know what it is about us that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they want to know, I know he's a Christian. Why doesn't he seem any different?
Mm.
That can be a factor too.
Mm.
So that's why, as you said, we're all called to be encouragers.
Yep.
We're all called to be be spiritual leaders. Because as Christians, we're in a ministry.
Yep.
I work for UPS to make money,
mm-hmm.
but my first job has to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world.
Mm-hmm.
That's my job. That's different than what I do for money. What I do for money is, I go and I deliver boxes for UPS.
I want to stay on this track here. I want to talk about that because in a sense, and I'm going to throw this question out and when we come back and you can answer it. But aren't we supposed to submit to the authority? We'll be right back. You're listening to Bannon Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
I believe I overcome by the power of His blood.
Welcome back to Banner Brothers Radio. I've got Eric in the studio with me. We're talking about, well, you guys know what we're talking about, this frustration at work. And but something was brought up. You had brought it up about having to do certain things that you're first and foremost, your loyalty is to God. Okay?
Right.
First and foremost. But yet the gospel reminds us that we are to, we're under authority, okay, of the land, and whether it be the government or in some cases our employer, we're under their authority. So how does that work mm-hmm. with being loyal, if in a sense? What does that look like?
Well, I don't think that that necessarily means that we have to go and do everything that they tell us to do, because God's law always has to come first. You know, God trumps. All right. If there's a question, and you've been told to do something, and it's in direct violation to what God says, well, God wins. All right. Okay. That's just the way it is. But we are under authority.
Okay.
So insofar as it doesn't conflict with Scripture, then our answer is, you know, our answer is yes.
Okay, so then with that, and I'm being like a news reporter here, so that's it. Thank you for that, but I've got another question, kind of follow up with the last one here. So if that were the case, and your employer says that you need to be working through the weekend, which means that you wouldn't have a day off, you would not have a Sabbath, which we're commanded to take, what mm-hmm. do you do?
That's a matter of conscience. For me, I would really consider finding different work, because I believe seriously that we do need to have a day of rest. You know, we can easily become workaholics, and it's easy to escape into that frame of mind. But God commands us to rest.
Right. And sometimes being the workaholic, there's a couple of reasons for it. One is that we earn more money, which means we have more money to spend.
Another is we don't have to come home if we don't like
coming home. The
other
is we don't have to go home. Got to work. That's where I got to be. I got to work, you know, and then go from there. You're avoiding having to be with those that you're uncomfortable with being for whatever yeah. reason is, right?
Right. So, you know, in answer to your question, that's actually a difficult question because, you know, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and different mm-hmm. people are going to tell you different things on this.
Right.
Okay, there's going to be the ultra-legalistic answer, and there's going to be the ultra-liberal answer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care what day of the week you rest on.
Right. Right.
I just believe that God says that you need to have a day consecrated to Him,
right.
where we do rest, where we right. recuperate.
Now, that's not to say that if you're in a workplace where maybe there's a season, or maybe it's an unusual situation that maybe some more jobs had come in, they need to get the jobs done. It's not a regular thing, but they ask you, or they don't ask, they say we've got the shifts running through the weekend. So that would mean that whatever your day off is, you're not going to have a day off, you know, this week or this week coming mm-hmm. type of thing. That might be an exception to the rule, right, in a sense?
It could be. I mean, it's like I said, it's one of these things that seems to me to be yeah. just a matter of conscience. Yeah. And we have to act according to the conscience of the Holy Spirit, that how He acts in us. You know, I shared with you during the break that I had a job at a video store at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that... you know, my own struggles with images of pornography, and knowing that that's not God's will for me or for any man, that mm-hmm. we would cherish women and not view them as objects. Well, there were videos in the store that were primarily, you know, just skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up, you know, God worked on my heart, and I ended up quitting the job.
Sure.
I went to my manager and I said, you know, I can't in good conscience rent these videos to people anymore, so mm-hmm. I have to leave.
Mm.
You know, and so there are times when God's law, you know, well, not there are times, but in all times God's law trumps.
Right.
And we need to act according to the convictions that he gives us.
And you know what? And I, too, that's also where I left a situation, a work style that I was involved in at one time that I just couldn't, I could not do what they wanted me to do, the way that they wanted it done. Could I be a part of it and still just not, but it really had an impact on how much money I made. So I decided that I need to be out of that industry. And so I no longer, not saying that it's a bad industry, but for me, it just wasn't a fit. It just did not work. That's not what I wanted to continue doing. The challenge was, is that it was, I was good at it and I could have made a lot of money, but it was not a good fit for a lot of reasons. And so I made that decision to leave that. Okay. Now the thing is, those are tough decisions to make. And one of the things I think is so important is that we don't make major decisions by ourselves. And especially when we just say, me and God, we got this handled. Especially if you're married, you have family to take care of. Mm-hmm. You need to communicate with your spouse, your wife, and let her know what's going on and get continued prayer. But before I go any further there, let's take one more break. Then we'll come back. Let's talk about application of how we can actually be able to deal with some of these frustrations that we've talked about and maybe some that we haven't talked about yet, and the best way of being able to confront these things. How's that sound?
We'll go there.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. We have a few minutes left, and but I think one of the things that's important is that we give you guys some ideas on application, on what to be able to deal with your situation, because your situation may not fall in the same category that we're talking about, but that means that there are still certain things that are taking place or will be taking place when you go to work, or that has been going on, and you're not sure exactly how to handle it, and it becomes perplexing, because if you go to your boss, maybe your boss is one of the ones that's causing the challenge, okay, or your manager or whatever, mm-hmm. or your supervisor, whatever it is, okay? And the last thing you want to do is go above his head to something else, unless it's something that, again, you feel like there's conviction or the Lord's trying to prompt you that you need to do something about this. But you don't make that decision yourself, okay?
Right.
So
yeah, especially if you have a wife, a helpmate, man, you don't want to be making these life decisions without consulting her, without talking to her about it, without going before the Lord together in prayer over these sort of things.
Right.
And I'll tell you, if you do, you're going to wind up with resentment.
Oh, yeah. Resentment. Last thing you want to do is carry that baggage around with you, because all that's going to do is really keep you from the sunlight from coming in. And that's the S-O-N, not the S-U-N.
Right.
And because really, resentment is just keep everything, and you want to stay clear of that sort of thing. I mean, who wants to feel that? I know sometimes it feels good to resent somebody and to feel that burning desire to want to just put them to rest, so to speak. Yet, that isn't how we are to deal with that sort of thing.
Right. And sometimes we're in the situation, where they're the single guys who are making decisions about work. You know, you don't have a wife to go to talk to about this, but we still want to seek counsel.
Yes.
Because God works through other people.
Yes.
All right. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. The Holy Spirit is in my Christian brothers and sisters, and the Lord's help comes from my brothers and sisters
yes.
in Christ. So, you know, if I were a single guy, I would definitely want to talk to another mature Christian guy about any sort of life situations like this that I may be facing and get some godly counsel.
Right. One of the things that you want to be able to do, just consider yourself like your vehicle that you drive. Before you go on a trip or be taking off anywhere, fill up the tank. Top it off, man. Even if you're half full, top it off. So top it off daily. Okay, and the way you do that, go to Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So we need Amen. To stand firm. Ephesians 6. Brother, I don't know.
Good word.
Oh, we got more to say, but that's for another day.
it'll have to wait for another show.
How about praying for our brothers?
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to follow you today, to work, Father, for you and in your name, Father, to exemplify you in all of our speech and all of our actions, whether in the workplace or in the home, God, so that your name is glorified and held in honor above all things. In Jesus' name we pray.